With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joined now by the great Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium, who broke the story over the weekend that UConn may be departing the American Athletic Conference for the Big East. Follow him on Twitter, @Brett_McMurphy. He joins me now. Brett, how are you?
Good, Jeff. I'm sure it's a sad day for everybody in Memphis.
Well, it is interesting is that that is a quote-unquote rivalry that just never took off. It was...
It was like UConn and the rest of the American.
Like UConn and the rest of the American. It is funny. Of all the people who were of all the unhappy media contingents as they came through Memphis, the UConn people were the most unhappy. They just couldn't believe that they were doomed to this fate, that this program. It just why hasn't it worked with UConn and the American?
Well, the folks from UConn will say that it's because, which this has nothing to do with success on the field or on the court, but basically the fan base never bought into the makeup of the American. You know, they were a charter member of the Big East.
Right.
They're used to playing Georgetown, Villanova, St. John's, Seton Hall, Syracuse, although obviously they left to go to the ACC. But that's, you know, that's kind of their makeup. That's their DNA. That's their identity.
Right.
So then they, Big East schools, the Catholic schools say we're going basketball only, so they're left with the American and football and all the other sports. And basically they could not get excited about playing the likes of East Carolina and Tulane. And you know the list of schools in the league.
Right.
I understand that.
Of course, yes.
With that being said, UConn, they won the national title. They're actually their first year in the American with Kevin Ollie in 2014. Since then, they've been to exactly one NCAA tournament. And they have three consecutive losing seasons in basketball. In football, it's 1,000 times worse. They went to the 2010 Fiesta Bowl. Since then, 8 consecutive losing seasons. They've won fewer than 3 games in 5 of the last 6 years. And last year's school record was 1-11. They had the worst defense in the history of college football a couple of years ago. So you can say the fans don't have an interest in the opponents they're playing. The fans probably don't have an interest in the quality of the programs dropping down so much, with the exception of women's basketball.
Right. So in some ways the conference, it's being scapegoated for the failures of the coaching staffs of men's basketball and football. By the way, is this done? Like, how done is this?
I think there's, I believe an announcement could be made as early as this week. I mean, it would take effect in 2020. And then what's going to be fascinating, two couple things, which I'm writing later today for Stadium. I'll tweet it out later. But basically, the two biggest questions from all this, the bigger things as opposed to UConn going to the Big East, I think, is what happens to UConn football, which their options are not very good.
Right.
They want to be a football-only member in either the MAC, Conference USA, or the American. I've talked to sources in all those leagues. They said that is not going to happen. I had one source tell me that if UConn thinks they're going to be a football-only member in the American, they're delusional. We've made that clear to them ever since these rumors of going to the Big East popped up. So you take that out of the equation. UConn claims they want to stay at the FBS level. So that means you got to be an independent. Well, they're not Notre Dame. They're not even BYU, for that matter. So I don't think they can survive on the independent level in FBS. I think the best thing for them, although, again, UConn sources stress they are not dropping football, they are not dropping down to FCS, would be to drop down to FCS. Idaho did it in 2018. They went from FBS to FCS. Because by getting out of the American, you've basically admitted we do not want to try to compete in FBS football at the highest level we can be. We have no aspirations to try to get, if there is one more round of expansion, we have no aspirations, and we've admitted we are not going to make the cut to get into a Power 5 league. So they basically admitted they have no interest in doing that, or they realize they can't do that. So just why make it a, you know, quit pretending what you're not and just drop down to the FCS? So we'll have to see what happens with them. And the other thing is, what happens with the American, which I'm sure
let me get to most
that of your listeners care about more.
Let me get to that for just a minute. On the first part, on the first part of it, they're basically saying we care more about basketball. There are two parts of it, right? One, we care deeply about basketball, and we want that back, which we can get back with by joining the Big East. And secondly,
they care about it so much that they will sacrifice the football program.
But I guess my question is this: what they are basically saying is, because once upon a time, the idea with football is we need football programs to get where we want to go, whether it's the Big 12 or whatever. They're basically saying that's not going to happen. And so we're no longer going to sacrifice basketball for this pipe dream of football that's not going to happen. This seems to me to be their analysis. I guess my question is, for a place like Memphis, is this, in fact, the canary in the coal mine? In other words, it's been much – Memphis has a successful football program now. Memphis is rolling in football. Memphis is whatever. But is basically UConn's recognition that it's never going to happen something that and that the economics don't work really outside of the Power Five, is that something that places like Memphis are going to have to come to grips with ultimately or not?
No, that's a great question, and I never would have thought of it that way. But maybe UConn actually is smart. Maybe they're getting ahead of the game. What it means is, and I think as you know, I've probably talked to you about this before, is when the college football playoff is up for renewal in six or 7 years, that coincides with a lot of the Power Five media rights deals. If we don't have any expansion among the Power Five teams at that time, then we're never going to have it. This is the that'll be the last chance. So UConn, I think partly because of how poorly they've done on the field, they realize they're never going to get there. And the ironic thing is, remember during the last round of major conference realignment, the ACC's final bid came down to Louisville and UConn.
Right.
And basically, Louisville was the last one off the Titanic. And UConn was right there, the next one in line. We're like, sorry, bud, we're full. And you can look at the difference between the two programs. You know, it's like night and day compared to what Louisville and UConn have done since that day happened. So maybe they're ahead of everybody else. But
what do you think?
Yeah,
what
that's
do you
a big
think
question.
Will happen?
Well, that's
what,
a big question for Memphis.
Yeah.
If Memphis does not get into a Power Five conference, or there, let's say more the other way, there is no more Power Five realignment. They are not going to add more teams. Which, quite frankly, why would they do that? You split the pie up into smaller pieces and all that stuff. Then I think not only Memphis, but all the Group of Five schools, they have to make the realization that, look, you're not going to be making – the Power Five leagues make between $30 and $50 million per school per year. The new deal with the American, I think they're going to make $7 million. Now, that's almost double what they're making now. But you cannot – you can beat – Memphis can beat anybody on the planet on Saturday. But a Group of Five team cannot compete 365 days a year against a Power Five program because you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you don't have the automatic bid to the college football playoff system, the New Year's Six games, on and on and on and on. And so what happens is once a Power Five program or conference says, you know what, we're going to give our student-athletes unlimited meals, 24-hour insurance, lifetime medical care, whatever else they come up with, because they're going to come up with more and more and more and more because the NCAA is going to let them do whatever they want except for actually giving them money. So then what happens is the Group of Five leagues have to say, well, you know what, we're going to do that too, and I think that's really great. The problem is the Group of Five schools don't have the revenue to do that. Now, they can get private donations and do things that way, but I've used this analogy before. It's like, for the Group of Five, it's like buying a house. You're buying a house in a luxury neighborhood next to a guy. It's got a $3 million house, and the one dude's got a ton of money coming in. He buys the house. So you want to show everyone, well, I can compete with them. I can keep up with the Joneses. So you buy a $3 million house. Well, that's great. The difference is the Group of Five schools, they're paying for that house with a credit card. And after that'll work for a few months, but then all of a sudden that interest is going to bite you in the butt and you can't afford it anymore and you're going to go bankrupt. And I think your question is a bigger question, and I get asked this all the time from people in the media, from athletic directors, from commissioners. Not that I know, but everyone's trying to figure out where do you see college athletics in 6 or 7 years when all these things, you know, come to a head. And the answer is nobody knows. But I think one answer is if there's no realignment, if the Power Five stays at the number of schools they're at, then the Group of Five schools and or conferences have a big question to make, and that is, can we continue to try to keep up with the Joneses when, again, just simple napkin arithmetic, if you're a Big Ten school, I think Michigan's going to bring in $56 million or something this year from the conference revenues. The SEC schools are north of 40 or 50. So they're bringing in more than five times what schools in the American. I'm not picking on the American. I don't want to make that clear. They're making five times what schools in the American are making. They're making 10 times what Conference USA and Sunbelt schools are making. So how are those non-Power 5 conference schools going to compete at the same level? They can't. And I don't know what the solution is, but I think because of the disparity in the revenue, at some point we see kind of I don't know if it's a split, it's a division, it's a reorganization, it's something, because quite frankly, the Group of Five conferences and schools cannot right. exist or last on that path when they simply do not have the same amount of revenue. And that's unfair, right. And I hate it, and I'm not a suck-up to the Power Five, right. But that's the reality.
It's unfortunate. It's been interesting to watch because the University of Memphis, when David Rudd took over as president, clear priority was to get into the Big 12, and then it seemed to shift at some point. It seemed to shift to, we need to get a better TV contract, and they have gotten a better TV contract, and they've created separation between the other non-Power 5 conferences, but it's still, you do wonder whether it will be enough. The program, football program, still loses money. I mean, that's just, it's as successful
right.
as it's been.
But the Big 12 yeah. didn't want to add anybody. It's not
right.
like Memphis did.
No.
It didn't matter what Memphis did. It didn't
right.
matter what UCF did. The Big 12 didn't want anybody. It's like, there's a guy I work with at Stadium. He's a huge UCF fan. I hear it from him every day about UCF should do this and that. You can imagine. I said, okay, you know what? Do you play golf? Yes, okay. I want you to go play at Augusta tomorrow and tell me what you shot. He goes, what do you mean? I go, go play at Augusta. Tell me what you shoot. He goes, I can't play at Augusta. I go, why not? And he goes, well, because I'm not a member. Well, just go beat up. Just go knock on the door and yell and scream and say, I want to play. They'll let you in. He goes, no, they won't. I go, why? He goes, I'm not a member. I go, exactly. You're not a member of the Power Five, and they're not just going to let you in because you scream and holler and raise hell. And, again, I don't like that, but that's the reality of it for these Group Five schools that want to get to a Power Five level. I understand why they do. It's survival, but it's simply not going to happen.
All right. Onward to the second point you raised, which is what's going to happen now with the American. What is going to happen now with replacing UConn or not in the American?
Well, it's funny. I talked to a number of ADs in the American and you know, personnel from the American, and they said, you know, ironically, you know, we may do what the Big 12 did that everyone bellyached about, and that is stay at 11.
Right.
They may not add anybody. I think the only two schools that would, I don't even know if it would increase value, but it give them equal value, would be Army or BYU. And both of those, you know, have kind of little warning labels on them. Army is, obviously, what they've done the last couple of years has been incredible. But if you go back a few years, they were not only a losing program, they were, like, really, really bad. And I think you'll remember this, the days of Conference USA. Army was a member of Conference USA for 2 years and simply could not compete and left Conference USA and went back to being independent. Now, that doesn't mean Army cannot continue the success they've had. That's an issue with them. Also, the myriad of challenges, and what do you do if Army and Navy are in the same conference? They are not going to move that game off of the third Saturday in December.
Right.
So how does that impact the conference championship? How does that impact the New Year's Six bowl game that goes to the highest-ranked conference champion? If Army and Navy are involved, there's a number of hurdles you have to jump for that. But I do think Army, you know, I don't think there's anyone else that would add the value that they could add, as long as they don't regress back to where they were just a few years ago. As far as BYU, I think they would make sense because they do give a national name, which helps. It would give the American kind of a TV window out west for an American game each week that obviously could be lucrative for ESPN. The biggest issue for BYU is BYU talked to the American, you know, last go around. And basically, I was told that they were close with BYU several years ago, but BYU had too many demands. They wanted to be treated differently on the TV rights. They wanted more money than what the other members were going to get with TV rights, which is kind of the agreement Boise State got to stay in the Mountain West. And then you've also got, again, it's football only, but you have the Sunday, non-Sunday thing, which is football only, that probably should not be an issue. So those would be the only two. I got text messages from five ADs at other Group of Five schools saying, "Hey, can you help me out? Promote my school for the American." There's a ton of schools in the other four Group of Five leagues that want to get into the American, but to be honest, I don't think the American has any interest in them. So I think they're obviously going to think this out. I think at the end of the day, they stay at 11, which is.
They get rid of. There's obviously can't have divisions. Then is that what is that?
Well, that's something they got to decide. I mean, they could go 6-5. I mean, they just. But I know Oresco has wanted the top two teams to meet in the championship game every year, kind of like what the Big 12 does. Certainly, you know, you take the chance of your school getting eliminated from the New Year's Six game if the lower ranked team wins. And all that stuff. So that's something, you know, they obviously would have to figure out. The good news is you're no longer required to have 12 members to have a championship game. So they could do the 6-5 and do it that way. That's just something they have to figure out. I think if you ask me end of the day what I think happens, I think they probably stay at 11. Which
UAB brings no value, essentially. There are sentimentalists here in Memphis who like the idea of UAB.
Oh, absolutely. I think UAB is a tremendous story. And Bill Clark, the job he'd done is remarkable. But again, to add them to the American, it's like, yeah, well, what's that really do for the American? It doesn't do much. I mean, it's basically, you're like, and again, I'm, you know, showing my age here, you're kind of, you know, rounding the gang up together again from the old Conference USA, which you remember,
yes.
And all Memphis fans remember. You know, I heard UAB, I heard someone else tell me, well, the offices are moving to Dallas, maybe they need another Texas member. And then I had an AD tell me, look, SMU's in Dallas. We have Houston. We don't need another Texas member. So that's, you know, that's a decision they have to make. You know, right now it's the $84 million divided by 12 is $7 million per school. So if you divide that by 11, it's about 7.6 or $7.7 million. So it's quote, only $600,000 or $700,000 you're getting in addition with 11 compared to 12 members. So is it worth losing $600,000 or $700,000 to bring on a 12th member? I don't know the answer to that. Each school's got to make up the decision on that. I do know scheduling for an 11-team league is not easy. It's not simple because it's an odd number, and they would have to figure that out. Do you increase the number of conference games? Do you go to 9 games? You know, do you stay at 8? I mean, those are a number of things. You know, they would have to figure out. But yeah, so the biggest thing, yeah, UConn to the Big East, good for the Hoops teams. But yeah, what happens with UConn football and then what's the American do is probably going to be the most fascinating things to follow in the next few months.
All right, two final questions, Brett. I appreciate all the time. One is Memphis did a 2-for-1 with Arkansas. Your thoughts on doing 2-for-1s now in football?
I think it's great. Because you know what, you can if you can own 100% of something, and if it's 100% of nothing, it's zero. So if you're not going to schedule a Power 5 team unless you get a home and home, then you know what, more power to you, and you're going to have no home and homes against Power 5 teams. If you can do,
yeah, go ahead.
You can do a 2-for-1, then you're going to get that team on your home field, and you know what, if you beat them, it only adds you get all the benefits of that, and and or you went on the road against them, then it only adds to that too. So, you know, I know UCF's, you know, mindset on this. I don't agree with it. USF has added some two-for-ones here in Tampa. I live in Tampa. Two-for-ones with Florida, with Alabama. Alabama's coming to play in Tampa. That's in, you know, this program started. I covered it when it first started. In a million years, I never would have said Alabama would play in Tampa. They're playing in Tampa because of two-for-one. If it's a one-for-one, Alabama doesn't get within, you know, closer than a conference game in Gainesville. So I'm all for the two-for-ones. And like we talked about earlier about the challenges of the group of five, when you do the two-for-one, you get a team, a Power Five team, in your home stadium, and you also get the big payday for that third game when you go to their place.
And then finally, heard anything about the Memphis AD job?
I have not, but I do have an interest if they contact me. Just want to know.
How's the stadium? How is stadium, by the way? You certainly have not stopped breaking news since you went over there. You would give it up to be Memphis AD, but otherwise it's been good?
No, I love my job. You've never turned down a job or you've never been offered a job. I think that's the secret. It's going good. But, I really don't know what's anything with Memphis. Sorry, I don't have any insight on that. Obviously it's a quality position, and you know, the good news is you've got the two major programs are doing very well, and that makes it more attractive than coming in somewhere where, say, like UConn, where your football team is struggling mightily and your basketball team is seeing better days.
Brett, love your stuff. You're awfully gracious to give us this much time. Thanks very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.